So I had to indulge myself with all the things out there. Now we are trying to take care of business and it's working faster than it should. Back to neighbors. Neighbors can be a blessing to you. Neighbor can be a pain on the neck. And recently I've been talking to people, different people, about neighbors and listening what the American culture think about neighbors. And I have heard most of the absurd things that people would say about their neighbors. And I wondered, what is it that goes in the mind of my congregation when they think about their neighbors? Just for I start, when we move into the new house, the next door neighbor came in and gave me 3-hour reports of how thieves are coming and breaking into his house. I'm thinking, geez, what a nice welcome, huh? For somebody that's already kind of suspicious about neighbors. Let's go into the Word of God and see what the Bible teaches us, how our behavior should be when it comes to our neighbors. Let's start with Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. Neighbor is something good to have when you have the right response. As I said this morning, one of the things that will make us live better, live longer, healthier, is the proper response. As soon as I finish praying here, I'm leaving to go home. A guy came inside of a church parking lot, straight through and caught right in front of me. So I'm thinking, well, I have two options here. One of them is to be mad. But being mad is not going to do anything because I can't control another person's reaction. The only reaction I can control is mine. So I said, Lord, save this soul. Save this soul. If this soul is on the way to hell, we forbid the enemy from taking this soul. In the name of Jesus, and I pray for this soul's salvation. Neighbors, in the same way, is somebody that's going to be beside your house for the rest of your life. Your neighbor may be annoying. Neighbor may do something that really tickles you. But at the end of the day, if you get upset with your neighbor, you're going to have only ulcerous heart problems between many other stuff. I had a neighbor one time that when the weekend came, he cranked up his sound system that the teacups would shake on the top of the counter. The fellow on the other side of his house went and asked him to bring the sound down, and he loosed the dogs on that man. And I'm looking and said, well, obviously that's not the right way to approach this situation. So I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want this sound system to be broken. Somebody said, that's selfish. No, it's not. The man will not allow himself to be admonished. And lo and behold, before the weekend was over, the sound was broken. He took it to the technician. They fixed it. Next weekend, here we go again. Said, Lord, please send an angel to break that thing. And by the end of Saturday, it was broken again. Well, he obviously was not happy. There wasn't anybody to take care of his own system. The third week, he goes again. He cranked it up, but then again, he came to me and said, is my sound too loud? I said, yes. You want me to lower it down a little bit? I said, yes. He said, I don't know, something strange is happening. Every weekend, now my sound system break down. I wonder if anybody's doing any kind of witchcraft. I said, nah, witchcraft wouldn't do anything about this. Maybe another power, higher power, may be doing something. But if you keep it down, I think the sound system will like. And that was the answer. We prayed, and from that point forth, was no longer 100% of the volume. It was only 50% of the volume with which we could live. So your neighbor can be a blessing. And this is why the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. My first attitude towards my neighbor is loving my neighbor, even when the neighbor is worthless. And I know it's tough. It's tough. You know that kind of neighbor that they will come, bring all their trash and throw the trash in front of the house? You know what I'm talking about? The neighbor that has a dog that will always cross over your yard and do its necessities? And it is tough to love neighbors like this. Sometimes you can approach the neighbor and talk, and most of the time when that happens, the neighbor will never be happy. Notwithstanding, the Bible is telling us that the first thing we should do towards our neighbors is to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Quite often. One may wonder, why would God ask me to love my neighbor? I believe that at the end of the day, you may be the only Jesus that neighbor will ever see. You may be the only word of life that they will ever hear. And who is to say, when we get to heaven, how many neighbors we have made because of our holy conduct? Amen? Amen? Second thing that God tells us to do with our neighbors is to be careful not to bear false witness against our neighbors. Listen to Exodus 20, 16. Why would one bear? Well, when you're upset with your neighbor and you just can't get your neighbor to agree with you, people will do all kind of crazy stuff to get rid of the neighbors. Read it together with me. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Which means if God is saying for us not to do this, it means that even us, God is addressing the people of Israel, we are at the risk of bearing false witness against our neighbor. I think it works also the other way around. Sometimes you like the neighbor so much that you take sides and may end up saying something more than what it happened. But God called you and I not to bear false witness against our neighbors. One of the greatest problems that people have with neighbors is a little word called coveting. On my day-to-day, I have observed that most of the neighbors' fight really start over coveting. Brother Harry, give me verse 17. Watch this. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now, in America, unfortunately, today, especially when you are in a low-income neighborhood, when your neighbor can't have what you have, they will get a screwdriver or a nail and they will scratch your car. If they can't have one like you do. Or they will take advantage when you just park on the top of the line and call the tow truck because you're parking on the top of the line. Notwithstanding, the Bible is saying that we should not covet anything that belongs to our neighbor, neither his house, his wife, or anything that our neighbor has. Why would somebody covet what their neighbor has? I've seen cases over and over again. A young lady moved into our house, next to our house in the city. And she goes, I don't know if she still goes, to Johns Hopkins University. So it was a different face, very happy, very radiant, always talkative, greeting everybody. And all of us used to drive what I call a jalopy, or a junk mobile. Nobody had a new car. Everybody had a used car. This new neighbor moved into the neighborhood. She also had a jalopy. But then she went and traded in for one of those fancy small four-wheel drive cars. Oldsmobile something. It's a Toyota car, and it's four-wheel drive. So during the winter, we all got stuck, and she just made her way out. That caused a lot of people to be upset. Once the winter was gone, they started scratching her car. One time I caught a guy scratching her car. I called him. Why do you do that? Who should think she is? Everybody here, nobody has four-wheel drive. And? Did you see how she looks when she's driving through the snow? I said, dude, this is childishness. But deep inside, there was a coveting spirit. Because the fellow who was scratching the car had an old, beat-up 1986 Buick Century. We are told by God not to covet anything that belongs to our neighbors. Nothing, nor a car, no wife, nothing of the neighbor. Neither should we bear false witness against our neighbors. I personally don't think that we should be buddy-buddy with neighbors, but we shouldn't either go to the other opposite, to the point of despising our neighbors. When you go to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21, there's a very powerful statement. Proverbs 14, 21. Read it with me. He who despises his neighbors, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. So in other words, when I may not like to be buddy-buddy with my neighbors, but I wouldn't come to that point of despising my neighbor. Because when we do that, the Bible calls it a sin. Why is it a sin? Again, he may be the only Jesus. You may be the only Jesus that neighbor will ever sin. The New Living Translation has it a little interestingly. May I have the NLT here, brother? It is a sin to belittle one's neighbors. Isn't that something? Yeah. But blessed are those who help the poor. So we don't want to despise our neighbors. We don't want to belittle our neighbor. We don't want to put our neighbors down. I find out that it works very well when we keep on good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and whenever see the neighbor, always greet the neighbor. And on the holidays, wish your neighbors a happy holiday, whatever the holiday may be. You know, there's a story of this man that moved out of his place into a little Catholic town. He was the only evangelical in that town. Everybody was Catholic. Needless to say, he wants to please his neighbor. He was minority, literally minority. So when the East come, you know, Passover comes, all his neighbor have their teeth soaked into a fish. And he's doing some barbecue on the back. And that troubled the neighbors. And the second year, the same thing happened. On the third year, the same thing happened. So the neighbors decide to approach him. Well, you know, we are all Catholic here, and what you're doing is a sin. You're eating the body of Christ. Da-da-da-da-da. And they convince him to take him to see the priest and to become Catholic. All right? After all the talking, the priest get the holy water and shook holy water in him and said, you were born Protestant, now you die Catholic. He went home. Next Passover, there he is again, making his barbecue. So when the neighbors all came, he had whole water in his hand. And he's sprinkling the meat. You were born a cow. Now you're going to die a fish. That is the guy that will go an extra mile not to fight his neighbor. But we should never belittle the neighbors. because it's a sin on the eyes of God. They want to say something. Brother Harry, can you give me this on the backslider translation, please? It's criminal to ignore a neighbor in need. But compassion for the poor, what a blessing. It's a crime to ignore a neighbor in need. And you know, that neighbor may not deserve our compassion. That neighbor may not deserve our understanding. But the Bible is saying that we should not belittle our neighbor. Amen? When we move a little bit further to Proverbs 11, 12, there's another advice from the Word of God, Proverbs 11, 12, on how to deal with neighbor. Read it with me. He who is devoid of wisdom, but a man of understanding, hold his peace. Hold your peace. Don't fight your neighbor. Don't despise your neighbor. Don't belittle your neighbor. Hold your peace. Let your God judge. Let your God take care of the business. You may say, you don't know my neighbor. You don't know your God. If it's on the book, God will take care of that. Now, let's go to Leviticus 19:13. Leviticus 19:13. Just to think that all these kind of actions can be done to a neighbor, it's amazing. And no wonder a lot of people don't want to know about our God, you know, through the result of some bad neighboring experience. Read it with me. You shall not cheat your neighbor. Isn't that something? Are you kidding me? No. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. My neighbor had a whole strings of robbery in his house. Somebody came and cleaned up one of his trucks, took all the tools from it, then came back a week later, got into his house, took his 56-inch TV, Blu-ray disc, DVR, blah, 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 and he's all gave me all this report when they move in. My first week. Then a week later, they came back again and cleaned up the second truck. Whew. Well, they visited us last week. On Saturday. No, this week. They visited us this past week on Friday. Thursday night. And they stole my bicycle from the back of my house. I said, well. That's interesting. So now, before we go to bed, we assign warrior angels with swords of fire to confound the eyes of the thief. And I pray for this thief salvation. May every time he sits on that bike, a heat come under his seat to the point that he'll bring that bike back. The bike is not that big of a deal, but you came, you took my bike, what have I done to you? Now, immediately, several thoughts come to mind. Who did that? I don't want to say that my neighbor did. I will not rob my neighbor. I will not cheat my neighbor. And this is the advice that God is giving to His people. Did you know that there were so many scriptures like this about neighbors? Now, God is going to speak right now. God Himself is speaking. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8 and 9. Read it with me. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another. What is he talking about? You may not like the neighbor from the left that may have stolen your bike. But before you call the police on the neighbor, go talk to the neighbor. Talk about it. Debate the case. And if you can't get to agreement, don't go to the neighbor to the left. You know, my bike was stolen. I think this neighbor took it. This is what he said. Quite something, huh? Quite something. Folks, I don't think that God is going to give you a neighbor that you can't handle. Because the book says, no temptation that comes upon us is more than what we can bear. But I have a bad neighbor. Then you need to learn to teach yourself how to respond to a bad neighbor. You know, at the end of the day, this is what it all boiled down to. God wants us to be merciful to our neighbors. God wants us to love our neighbors. God don't want us to cheat our neighbors. God doesn't want for us to talk evil about our neighbors. God doesn't want for us to disclose secrets that belong to the other neighbor next door. And I'm going to wrap up today by showing you Psalms 101, verse 5. Would you care to read it with me? Whoever secretly slays his neighbors, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. It's a very strong word. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Tough, huh? What is God trying to say tonight? I don't know. I just know that this thing has been in my heart for such a while. And it was kind of becoming a burden. So mostly like somebody here needed to hear that. Including myself. So what are we going to do with our neighbors? We're going to love them. We will not belittle them. If they need help, we will help them in time of need without becoming buddy-buddy. Instead of calling the police on them or taking them to court, go and talk to your neighbor before you do that. Now, if there's a violation of our rights, then that's a different story. Right in front of my house, there is a place where they do welding. You know, fence and windows, you know, the bars for the windows and whatnot. When I walk in, just to meet the neighbors, you know how that goes. The very first thing that he wanted to know is what I knew about the neighbor next door. I said, not very much. I saw that he came, he spent more than 2 hours in your house. I said, oh boy, here we go. I said, well, I don't know really what you have in mind, but I know very little about the neighbor. I introduced myself as I came with my wife to introduce ourselves to you. And we want you to know that in case you need a prayer, we are here to pray for you. That was the end of the conversation. He placed an end on the conversation. But before I left, the promise still stands. I don't want no prayer. Just in case, if a day ever comes and you need, you can knock at my door at any time. We should not slander a neighbor. We should not belittle a neighbor. We should help a neighbor in times of need. And we can do all this without becoming body. We should not covet any of the possessions that our neighbor has. Because I believe God has something even better for us. And He's a Father. Coveting your neighbor's possession will not get you anywhere. At the end of the day, I believe that when you and I are good neighbors, you may be the only Jesus your neighbor will ever see. Your behavior, your testimony may be the only words of life that they will ever hear. So we want to leave the channels open so that God may use us to bring our neighbors into the kingdom. Amen? Amen. God bless you.